powered by Transistor FM.
Welcome to Friends, Foes, and Neither. Do not adjust your podcatcher settings, as what you are about to hear is real. It's the Derek Duvall Show. Prepare yourself for insightful interviews with incredible people. Join us now as we delve ever deeper into the human condition.
And now, coming to you live to tape
from the Derek Duvall Production Bunker, it's Derek Duvall!
Hello, Duvall Nation. Hello. Hey, everybody. Hi. Thank you so much. Please, everyone, sit. Thank you. Hello, Duvall Nation, and welcome to the Derek Duvall Show. We are back with another fantastic journey into the lives of extraordinary people. This episode is brought to you today by the fine folks at BetterHelp. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service, and it's 100% online. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Derek Duvall Show. That's better, HELP.com/Derek Duvall Show. So before we jump into this episode, I want to say a big thank you to my last guests, Edward Miskey and Michelle Fabre. Edward was a fantastic guest and a real breath of fresh air for the show. And Michelle, well, what can you say about her except she's pretty purely amazing. Her new song, Rock Me With a Deeper Love, has dropped, and you can buy it or stream it wherever you get your music online. And if you've not heard our very in-depth interview, I strongly advise you to check it out after the conclusion of this episode. So welcome to episode 244, and we have a fantastic episode lined up for you today. We have on the show Kendall Ellis. Now, Kendall is a 400-meter sprinter and an NCAA champion and an Olympic gold medalist. Kendall will be discussing how she got into track and field, the challenges of competing at the elite level, competing in the Tokyo Olympics, and she will also discuss her now legendary performance at the 2018 NCAA Championships, where she came from far behind in the final leg of the 4x400 relay to win the championship. Kendall is an incredible athlete and a joy to speak with, so let's get her out here. Duvall Nation, please welcome to the show, calling in today from Los Angeles, California, Olympic gold medalist Kendall Ellis. Kendall, hello. Welcome to the Derek Duvall Show. How is the weather out by you today?
Nice and sunny. It's a good day in LA.
In LA? Nice. So with the pandemic now winding down, how was it for you to navigate the COVID-19 world?
It was tough. Los Angeles County was one of the very first places I think that shut down, and it happened a week after my birthday. So great timing on that end. But it was tough. You know, it was the middle of training for Tokyo 2020. We didn't have access to a track. We were in neighborhoods. We were at the park. We were dodging horse poop on trails trying to get in some sort of workout. So it was really, really difficult to not have, you know, your place of work be accessible.
Wow, crazy. So every journey has a beginning. Where were you born and what was it like to grow up there?
I am from Pembroke Pines, Florida. I'm a very, very proud Floridian, as crazy as the state may be. But yeah, I had a really happy childhood. I started running when I was 7 and was running around the neighborhood, always seeing the neighbors, waving to them, running to the bus stop. So I've been running my entire life.
So 7, huh?
Yeah.
So how many events did you try before you settled on sprinting?
I tried the 100, the 200, the 400. I never wanted to touch the 8, and I wasn't coordinated enough to be successful in the field events. So it didn't take long to figure out the 4. I was tall, awkward, lanky for my age.
So at what point did you know that the 400 meters was like the sweet spot for you?
I want to say probably around 13, early middle school. Like I said, I was so much taller than all the other kids. So the 100 just became too much of a foot speed race for me that I couldn't get my limbs underneath me quick enough. So we found out very quickly that the 400 was going to be my bread and butter, that sweet spot between all out sprinting and a little bit of mid distance endurance.
Okay. Do you prefer indoor or outdoor events?
I have to say outdoor. But I do have to acknowledge that I am very good at indoor racing. So I have my respect for it, but I just love having my own lane outdoors.
Okay, fair enough. Now, how heavily recruited for college were you, and how did you settle on USC?
I had my choice of any school in the nation except any school in Texas. For whatever reason, I was not recruited by a single Texas school. I never got a letter, I never got a phone call from any school in Texas, which is insane. I settled on USC because the head coach at the time was Carol Smith Gilbert, and I had met her a few years prior when she was coaching at UCF. We really hit it off. I really liked her, respected her as a fellow Black woman in coaching, and I knew I wasn't going to stay in Florida. I had no interest staying home, so I was like, man, if she goes somewhere else, I'd love to follow her. I'd love to be coached by her. The following year, she ends up going to USC. I always had a thing for California, so I took a visit, and I was like, yeah, this is it. Perfect coach, perfect academic-athletic combination, and I was sold.
What was it like making that jump from high school to college?
It was very difficult. I definitely struggled my first 2 years, I'd say, just because I had the same coach from 7 years old through high school. So I hadn't really had to interact with new coaches. I hadn't had to learn a new program, a new way of doing things. So college was new in that aspect, along with being 3,000 miles away from home. I don't know anybody. I don't have any family out there. It's college. You're trying to have fun. So it was difficult to learn how to balance it all. And I think the intensity is what really got me, just having to be at your very best week in, week out. You're competing so much more often. And that was a really tough transition.
Now, you are a highly decorated collegiate athlete, 3-time NCAA champion, 14-time NCAA Division All-American, 7-time Pac-12 conference champion, and 5-time Mountain Pacific Sports Federation champion. Now, I list off these accomplishments. How does that make you feel?
Good. You know, sometimes you need a reminder of everything you've accomplished, because I think as athletes, we're so set on what's next, what's next, what else can I do? And it's nice to be reminded of you've already done so much.
Really? Now, I want to say this. I didn't know much about you going into this interview, but I watched the video on YouTube of you chasing down Purdue to win the NCAA championship. Now, that was absolutely incredible. I couldn't believe what I watched. What do you remember about that race?
I remember me and the third leg, Deanna Hill, our handoff bobbling, not quite reaching my hand and stumbling, trying to get the baton. I remember running very calmly because I knew I had experience from the year prior with I messed it up and I ran it wrong and it ended up us getting second. So I was like, I'm going to be smarter this time around. And I remember, I know the crowd was so incredibly loud, but I just remember silence because I was so laser focused on what I was trying to do. And I remember my teammates coming and hugging me afterwards, and definitely remember all the press and the comments and the attention afterwards, for sure.
Did you, when you made that last turn, I mean, how far back were you? Because I mean, like I said, the video, there's a lot of, you know, the zone difference and what have you, like in terms of like on TV, what you see.
Right.
When you were turning that corner, I mean, how far back were you? Do you remember?
So for me, I know it looks different on video, and I watched the video and I'm like, wow, she was that far ahead.
Yeah.
In person and actually running, I remember coming off that last turn and being like, oh, she's not that far ahead. She's so close and I'm not even tired yet. So this is perfect. I'm within striking distance.
It's crazy. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was very impressed. That was very, very cool.
Thank you.
So what were your emotions when you found out you broke the record for the indoor 400 meter dash with a time of 50.34?
Yeah, that was such an exciting race of mine. I think that's still one of my all-time favorite races to this day. It was, my coach and I had a conversation prior to, I got second the year before, and we were like, let's go out and win. And I think we expected me to win, but we didn't expect me to break the collegiate and American record that day. That was something I think that shocked both of us, but it was just so gratifying. Like, I was a senior, I'd spent the last 4 years, you know, working for a moment like that and to be NCAA champ. So to get a record on top of it was just the icing on the cake.
Now, when did you find you made Team USA and you were selected for the Olympic squad?
That was 2021. Yeah, 2021. I think trials were in June. It was bittersweet, I'll say, because I got fourth place, which means I'm the first one out of the open 400 and I get to be considered for the relay. And, it was exciting because, yay, I'm an Olympian, I'm going to the Olympics, I'm going to Tokyo. But also, man, I really wanted that top three spot. So, combination of happy tears, sad tears, gratefulness, being upset, just a lot of emotions in the span of 24 hours. But after that initial upset, I was like, okay, we're still going to Tokyo. The plan was to get to the Olympics, and we got there.
Nice. Now, the Tokyo Olympics were known for being held during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. What precautions were you forced to take when you were in the Olympic Village and in between events?
Yeah, it was. I think Japan did a great job with that, actually. We had to test every single morning. I think there was like a little app that we filled out, and you went to go pick up your testing kit and you tested every single morning. There were dividers in the cafeteria where we ate so that you were never like side by side with someone. There was always something in between you. All the teams and the countries were very separate. I remember just it was really isolating for the most part. We in order to make the games happen, that's what we had to do. So everyone was willing to do it, but it was certainly a different experience, I'm sure, than any other Olympics.
That's crazy. I remember those Olympics very well, and I remember it was just such a surreal time in human
Yeah,
history. So the fact that you got to
absolutely.
be a part of it, I think you'll remember that for the rest of your life, probably.
Definitely.
Yeah. How is Olympic competition different from college competition, and how do you train for something like that?
Yeah, it's different from college in the sense that college, you get a second chance. Your coaches are almost always going to put you in the next meet you have coming up the next week. Whether you have a good meet, bad meet, you have a second chance at running in professional track and field and training for the Olympics. You're only as good as your last race. So if you stunk it up last week, a meet director is not going to let you in the next race. So you really do have to be at your best almost all the time. And I think training in an Olympic space and with other Olympians and professional elite athletes, everyone is the best at what they do. Everyone was a state champion in high school. Everyone won an NCAA title. Like you're competing against the best of the best day in and day out. But I think for me, I try not to put too much pressure on it because then things can get a little wonky. I think you just approach it like this is another meet because I've been training for this. I'm prepared for this. So treating it with the respect of, yeah, it's the Olympic Games or Olympic trials, but never getting too high, never getting too low.
You took bronze in the first ever mixed 4x400 meter relay. What was it like to compete in that event and to medal?
It was exciting, also a little surreal, like we said, because it was an empty stadium and it was so odd just hearing your footsteps and hearing the breathing of you and your competitors. And that's kind of all you hear. But getting the medal draped around your neck, which is so much heavier than I could ever anticipate, was such an incredible feeling. And then knowing that you earned an Olympic medal, something 1% of the 1% of people do, it was an honor.
Okay, Duval Nation, we are going to go ahead and take a small break right here, but we will be right back with the conclusion of this interview with Kendall Ellis. May I suggest you take this time to refresh that drink and take some super long deep breaths. You know that's right, Clouseau style.
Out with the bad air, in with the good. Out with the bad air, in with the good.
Pay attention to a few friends of my show, and we will be right back.
Hello, Duval Nation. Derek Duval here. Mental health is not only a top priority in my life, but it should be in yours too. As a combat military veteran, I have seen what untreated mental health looks like, which is why I've been using a therapist for well over a decade. Seeing a trusted therapist has helped me reconcile life events and other important things I've been witness to since returning home from the service, and has changed my life for the better in many ways. Which is why going forward, I am pleased to announce that BetterHelp will be sponsoring The Derek Duvall Show. BetterHelp is the world's first therapy service, and it's 100% online. With BetterHelp, you can tap into a network of over 30,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help you with a wide range of issues. To get started, you just answer a few questions about your needs and preferences in therapy. That way, BetterHelp can match you with the right therapist from their network. Then, you can talk to your therapist however you feel comfortable, whether it's via text, chat, phone, or video call. You can message your therapist at any time and schedule live sessions when it's convenient for you. If your therapist isn't the right fit for any reason, you can switch to a new therapist at no additional charge. With BetterHelp, you get the same professionalism and quality you can expect from in-office therapy, but with a therapist who is custom-picked for you, more scheduling flexibility, and at a more affordable price. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/DerekDuvallShow. That's BetterHelp.com/DerekDuvallShow.
This is Country Boy for One Mic Black History. And if you listen to my podcast, this is some of the things that you will enjoy.
The term Jim Crow derives from early 19th century minstrel shows. It was a popular form of entertainment, which is the predecessor to vaudeville. The shows consisted of a primarily white song and dance performer crudely mimicking African Americans for the enjoyment of white audiences. One of the earliest and most famous was Thomas Daddy Rice, who devised a strutting, dancing character supposedly mimicking a prancing crow, and the character became known as Jim Crow.
And if this is the type of content that you enjoy, you can find more content like this at onemichistory.com.
This is William Yeske, author of the book Damn the Valley. I invite you to take a journey into a combat deployment that I was on during 2010 while serving with the men of the 82nd Airborne Division. On that deployment, we suffered a 52% casualty rate and filled the wards at Walter Reed with soldiers that had been serving within the heavy conflict that was happening within the Argonaut River Valley. The stories contained within the book are all true and even verified by not only DOD sources, but the men that were there on the ground fighting. I should know, I was one of them. It was not an easy task to write, but one that paints a vivid picture for the reader and a picture the reader won't soon forget. Pick up a copy on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookshop.org, or your friendly neighborhood independent bookstore today.
Teachers, do you ever have these feelings or have been told these things?
Do you want Kleenex for your classroom? Maybe you should think about buying your own, with your own money. You get the summer off, you can have a second job. Do you really need a pay raise? Oh, do you need to use the restroom? Maybe you can do that in the 3 minutes while students are changing classes. Boy, sure hope your room doesn't descend into Lord of the Flies in that time. Oh, things are going pretty good for one. Surprise! Budget cuts.
Well, you're in luck because we've got a book just for you.
Hi, everyone. It's Katie Kinder, educator, speaker, and author of Untold Teaching Truths. I invite you to purchase my book and join this journey as we talk about the wild world of public education. Part memoir, part strategy. It is available on BookBaby, Amazon, or wherever books are sold. Teach on, warriors. We've got this.
Hi, this is Kendra Erica, and you're listening to The Derek Duvall Show. You can hear my new song, Have My Way With You, on Spotify, Apple Music, and SoundCloud. And go to my website, www.kendraerica.com.
Hey, it's Michelle Fabre, and you're listening to The Derek Duvall Show. You can hear my brand new single, I'm All That I Need, on all streaming platforms right now.
Hello, everyone. This is Janae Sergio, life coach, combat veteran, and best-selling author. I invite you to purchase my new book, Perfectly Flawed, A Veteran's Journey from Homeless to Hero. In these pages, you will learn about the lowest struggles of my life to the absolute triumphs that have made me the strong woman I am today. Follow along as I talk about homelessness, my naval role in Operation Enduring Freedom, navigating insurmountable odds, and how I dealt with and overcame them. You can find Perfectly Flawed on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to episode 244 of the Derek Duvall Show. Let's get right back to it with the conclusion of our interview with NCAA champion and Olympic gold medalist in the 400-meter event, Kendall Ellis. The biggest success for you in the Olympics was to win gold in the 4x400-meter relay. Take us through that event, winning heat two, and what was it like to win the gold medal?
Yeah, it was exciting as well. I ran the preliminary rounds, so doing my job to make sure that whoever the final team was going to be in the final. And it's always exciting watching Team USA run and being a part of it, just because we are so deep in the 400 and athletes who can run the 4x4. So it's always exciting to see who the four are going to be for the final, and getting to have a hand in that was a huge part of my Olympic experience. Hmm.
I ask all my medalists who come on the show this next question. I've had a lot of Olympic medalists who come on my show. What do you do with your medals? Do you show them off? Do you frame them? What do you do with them?
Mine are sitting in a trophy case. They almost never come out for air, except when I occasionally need to travel with them. And I think that's the best part, when you're going through airport security and they always get flagged, and then they get to pull it out and be like, what is this? And you're like, oh, just my Olympic gold medal, really casual. So yeah, they live in their trophy case for the most part.
My favorite one I heard was, there was a lady, she was a gymnast, and she said she keeps it in her sock drawer. I was like, your sock drawer? Really? Yeah. So yeah.
Maybe when I get some more.
Yeah, there you go. So what does your workout regimen look like? Or, you know, what does the diet of an elite track star look like?
I train 5 days a week. I'm in the weight room 3 days out of the week. And for about, so my training days are about anywhere from 2 to 4 hours. And my nutrition, I don't eat fast food. I don't drink soda. I don't drink juice. All the things that I want to eat, I tend to stay away from. So really heavy on the protein, making sure that I'm having enough to support the rigorous training that I do, making sure my carbs are there. I have worked with nutritionists before to really get specific into the nitty gritty, because like I said, at this level, everyone is the best. So you really need to tap into the details. So
how many calories a day are you allowed?
I have no idea of that number.
Okay. I'm just curious, because I actually asked someone who came on the show that it was something like, I think it was like 5,000 calories a day. I think it was like max they're allowed. I was like, that's insane. Wow. So crazy. How hard is the training regimen for the Paris Olympics right now?
Hard. You're asking me on a day that I had a fairly light workout. So it's a better day to ask. But I think, like I mentioned, you don't want to do too much different. What's worked, but I think there's a different level of discipline that comes to it, and approaching each training day really giving it all that you've got, like tapping into the little details, knowing that, okay, my form needs to be fixed on this, or I struggled with this last week, how can I make it better? And having that kind of relationship with, one, your own body, trusting your coach, trusting your training partners. So it's hard, but I don't think it's anything that I haven't done before, and anything that I'm not able to step up to the plate for.
No, that's good. Some of my audience surprisingly consists of a lot of younger listeners. If a younger girl is listening to this episode and wants to get into track and field, what advice would you give her?
I would tell her, first of all, have fun with it. Don't take it too seriously. But second of all, find your local track club, your AAU club, and get involved that way. Or your middle school team, your high school team are great ways to get involved. I don't think you're ever too old to start running. I have friends who started when they were 15. I'm someone who started when I was 7. So I'd say once you get introduced to that and you find a club to run with, have fun with it. Don't take it too seriously. Don't feel like you have to make the Olympics tomorrow, but just enjoy it. I've made so many friends through the sport, some running, some no longer running, but I've created great relationships because I made sure that I did that. So I'd say have fun, definitely. Nice.
When you're getting up ready to go into an event, and you do you have ear pods in? Do you listen to music to get yourself psyched up?
Ooh, I am 50-50 on that. There are times where I like the complete silence and I don't want to hear anything. And there are other times I'm listening to music to get me excited. So I think when I'm getting ready, doing my hair, doing my makeup, that's when I'm listening to my music to make me feel good. And then the closer I get to competition time, the more I appreciate just silence.
What kind of music gets you excited?
I really like the girly music, like all the girl rappers, all the pop, like just really confident, ambitious young women like myself really get me hyped and ready to run.
All right. Fair enough. Speaking of, really hyped and ready to run, you know, what do you love most about running?
I don't think I've ever been asked that question before. I think I just love testing your personal limits. It's an individual sport beyond the relays. And of course, we're competing against the woman next to us. But I think there's such pride in beating your own personal record or running the fastest that you've ever personally ran before. And there's still success and joy and excitement in that. So I think that's what really excites me about it. It's not strictly who won, who lost, but also looking at outdoing yourself. And I think that's exciting.
It's amazing. When you encounter adversity in competition, what is the first thing you do to overcome it?
Take a deep breath. I think taking a deep breath, analyzing the situation. I'm a very logical, rational thinker most times. So I think really looking at the situation for what it is, seeing what I can take from it, seeing what I can learn from it, and then applying it to the next situation so I can handle it better than previously.
Which leads me to the next question. What is the best piece of advice anyone has ever given you?
I'd say my coach, Quincy Watts. When we were in Tokyo at the Olympics, he pulled me aside at one point and said, look around, look where you're at. People don't always get the second chance at another Olympic Games. People are lucky to make one. People are extremely lucky to make two, three, four, five. And he just told me, he's like, take in this moment. You know, there's pressure and it can feel nerve wracking and anxiety inducing, but he's like, for this moment, be where your feet are and look at how far you've come and look at the place and the level that you've made it to. And I think for me, that's been such great advice, being where your feet are and being present and really not taking for granted the incredible position I'm in, whether I'm at the Olympic Games or I'm at a local meet in Los Angeles, just getting to do this as my career for so long.
What would you say is the biggest challenge you've had to, you know, overcome since you started elite competition?
Definitely anxiety. I have struggled with anxiety ever since I first started running at 7 years old. It's been a constant battle and one that I've had to realize it's not going away. So I simply have to stop fighting it and thinking that one day I'm going to wake up and not feel anxious anymore. But learning how to cope, learning how to work with it, acknowledging that it's there, but I'm still able to thrive and succeed besides it. So anxiety has always reared its ugly head throughout my career, for sure. So that's been the most difficult.
I suffer from anxiety too. Trust me, it can come up on you at the most inopportune times. So absolutely. I get it. Trust me. Well, I'm glad that you're taking better care of yourself, and I wish you nothing but the best in your struggle. So
yeah.
What are your plans after your elite competition days are over? What's your major in college?
I was a business administration major. I have my master's in it as well. So I would really like to get into the NIL space. I think it's so new and so interesting and kind of combines all the things I'm interested in terms of sports and athletics and social media, marketing, branding. Those are things I'm all really interested in and do for myself and have been for the last few years. And I love to provide that expertise to other young athletes and show them how they can really monetize their social media presence and their careers beyond sports.
All right. So besides the Paris Olympics, what's next for Kendall?
What's next? Hopefully, you know, Paris Olympics and then an off season, a lot of traveling. I love traveling. That's how I spend majority of my free time. So yeah, right now it's all sights set on Paris, but after that, I'm going to lay down on a beach somewhere.
Nice. Pierre de Coubertin said the most important thing in life is not the triumph, but the struggle. You get a chance to talk to your younger self. What would you say to her?
I tell her it's all going to work out and relax. There's no reason to be stressing 3 weeks in advance over a state competition. You're going to be okay. You're going to win states and you're going to be just fine. So just have fun. Stop missing out on these moments with your friends and your family and enjoy the sport for everything it has to offer.
As we enter the final phase of the interview, I always like to ask one fun question. Kendall, what do you like to do for fun? How do you like to relax?
I like to watch YouTube. I'm a big YouTube girl. I can spend hours on YouTube. I almost never watch TV, but YouTube is my go-to immediately.
Okay. I'm going to ask this one question, and you don't have to answer this honestly if you don't want to. Do you go back and watch your old meets?
No, I do not like doing that. I maybe watch my race right after it with coach to go over some critique. But beyond that, I only see the relay race when someone like brings it up to me or tags me in it. And any old race I have, I only go back and look at it if I need it to send to someone else. But okay. No, I'll never watch myself.
Okay, fair enough. All right. What would be the best way for my listeners to follow your adventures online?
I am on Instagram at Kendi, K-E-N-D-I underscore Kendall, K-E-N-D-A-L-L. And I also have a website, www.kendallellis.com.
All right. Kendall, you're an absolute joy to talk to, but I got to wrap this up. So I end my interviews with my favorite question. And the question is this: if the entire planet was listening to this broadcast, what would be the one thing you would like to say to the people of Earth?
Ooh. That is so hard. I'm going to say be kind. Yeah, be kind and be a light.
That's the most popular answer I get. Kendall, you're an inspiration to millions of young women. Congratulations on all your success. And I want to wish you all the best for Paris. And when you medal, you come back on my show and you tell us all about that Olympic experience, okay?
Deal.
All right. Best of luck to you, okay? Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
And just like that, Duval Nation, we come to the end of episode 244. I want to thank Kendall for taking the time out of her very demanding training schedule to come on the show and speak with me. I mean, what I said, when Paris is over and you medal, Kendall, you're welcome back on the show to tell us all about your Olympic glory. Okay, tune again next time as we showcase another extraordinary person. We drop our episodes on Mondays and Thursdays, so be sure to keep checking your favorite podcast streaming channel for those episodes to drop. Also, I think it's fair to ask you, the listener, have you enjoyed this episode? I truly hope you have, so please go and hit that subscribe button to keep up to date when new episodes drop. Also, if you're feeling generous, please drop us a review on Apple Podcasts. We love reading what our listeners have to say about us, good or bad. We are still enjoying our partnership with the amazing Tee Public. The Derek Duvall Show has a great little store in there, and we have everything with our logo on it, including magnets, stickers, and mugs. So please go to our website, DerekDuvallShow.com, go to the banner of the left that says merch, click that, and you'll be taken to our store on Tee Public. And once again, I want to thank them for being such great partners with the show. On behalf of myself and the entire team here at the Derek Duvall Show, I want to say to each and every one of you listening, we have been booking some really exciting guests for the show. I wish I could tell you all about them right now, but I think you should really be surprised. But keep an eye out for May 29th. That is a huge, and I mean huge, episode dropping. Nosta, God bless, and see you next time, Planet Earth.
This This has been a recording of The Derek Duvall Show, and we thank you for listening. Please go to our website, DerekDuvallShow.com, for links to merchandise and to explore past episodes. Please find us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Derek Duvall Show.